Dust Bowl Children. Dan Tominski on lead vocal, Ron Block on banjo. I'm so interested, you know, Ron, in the relationship that Union Station has with traditional bluegrass, because this is pretty traditional sounding album, isn't it? I mean, it's great that it's creating the success that it's having, because to me, it's a really important bridge across into real bluegrass.
It is. We all have similar influences, and we have influences that are radically different, but the core of what we grew up playing is basically what you would call traditional bluegrass. And it's just something that fuels, when we play a song like this, it fuels, I guess, the memory or the feeling that we have from bluegrass really fuels that.
Is bluegrass in any way inhibiting in the sense that it's very, very structured, isn't it? And, you know, they're quite demanding in that respect. What's your relationship with that demand?
Yeah, I don't think that we operate according to that necessarily, but we do have, I believe, a sensibility that is informed by traditional bluegrass, where you play the melody, where you don't play things that are inappropriate. You know, we're pretty, I don't want to say careful, but we're aware. You know, when Dan's singing, I don't want to play stuff that detracts from what he's doing. Mm. I want people to listen to the vocal.
Yes.
So I'm supporting that. And when Jerry plays, he's supporting what's going on. When Allison plays, when everybody in this band plays behind a vocal, we're paying attention to the vocal and making sure that that reigns supreme.
Right? Does that come a lot from, say, a band all performing around one microphone, which is one of the, you know, when I first went to the Station Inn in Nashville in 99, I was there on the night, and this is my first ever night in Nashville, to see Steve-O with the Del McCoury band. And Ray Kennedy had just put one main microphone in the middle of the room. And, yeah. and of course, it's choreographed. They all played round it so that when the vocalist is finished, he leans back, the fiddle player comes in, and that becomes the lead instrument, then he steps back. So is that part of what informs?
I would think so.
Yeah.
That makes total sense because, you know, if you're standing next to somebody and you're having to get out of the way when they're singing, you have to be aware constantly what's going on, and you can't just be lost in your own little world playing your stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to break the spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know, by something that would interrupt.
I think so many of us grew up, I mean, I grew up listening to Flat and Scruggs, and Flat and Scruggs were the kings of choreographed bluegrass music. I mean, you knew who was going to play the next solo because of who was backing up the vocalist at that point, and they, you know, ran into each other, kind of, the whole band was moving all the time. You weren't nailed to the floor. You know, there was some real movement going on within the band, and Lester and Earl were on one side of the microphone, Lester would be singing, Josh Graves or Paul Warren would be playing backup to them in a position on that one microphone that you knew who was going to take the next solo after you figured out what their choreography was.
It's a fantastic thing to watch,
it's
isn't wonderful. It? In itself.
And that's what Steve Earle and the Dukes were doing. They were trying to recreate that.
Yeah. So we should really play something also now from the CD itself. So what would you like me to play? See, now I'm going to watch the way that the Union Station democracy works.
This was tricky.
Yes. You play your favorite.
Very, very tricky. Yeah, you can play your favorite.
Well, shall we play the Jackson Browne song? Because that's so beautiful, and it concludes the album. So would anybody like to introduce my opening farewell and just talk us into the song?
This is a tune I learned. There's a guy, Michael Johnson, who sang Bluer Than Blue, you remember, back in, I think it was 74. And he is the uncle of Gary Pachosa, who has recorded our records for 20 years. And I heard him sing one night at the Bluebird Cafe and kind of changed my life. Like, he was one of those moments where I thought, what's going on here? He was a singer singing all of these things that I thought he'd written. So when I found out that he actually hadn't written them, I realized who I thought he might have been might not be who he is. And it was kind of this really big deal for me. And so whenever we start recording, I usually get out all of my Michael Johnson records. It gets me in the mood. And opening Farewell is such a beautiful song. The story is very easy to see and to get lost in. And then I brought it around, and I had forgotten that I had brought it and played it for the guys one time before, but I brought it around this time and it stuck. And changed the words around a little bit to keep the things feminine, and you know, things masculine, because it was from a woman singing it. And I was glad that Jackson said it was okay to do it. He probably was going, "What?" But he was nice enough to let us change it. there was, you know, I wanted the woman to cry instead of the man to cry.
Yeah.
Kept it all kind of feminine and masculine, and I think it turned out effective.
It's been a special treat for me to be in the middle of this beautiful music making. Thank you to all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob.